WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
As consumers, we often end up with products and services that have been advertised as one thing, but really turn out to be something else. Our language commentator Jeffrey Nunberg says that businesses have come up with some pretty shifty ways to use our language.
Here's a riddle I heard from my friend Lucky Danker, age 6. Why is a pony like a man with a cold? Because they're both a little hoarse. Lucky thinks this is extremely droll because he has just reached the age when he can see through the faulty logic that these riddles depend on. He's begun to realize that words can sometimes be treacherous to reality, that to be named the same and to be the same are different things. Yet in subtle ways, this treachery of names can still fool us if we're not on our guard. Here's one example I ran into just recently. You can now fly from Paris to San Francisco on what the post-regulation airline industry calls a direct flight. Of course, you'll have to stop in New York, pick up your bags and take them through customs, then recheck them for the second leg, which departs from another terminal with another crew in another airplane, what the airlines call an equipment change. And if you wanted to get literal-minded about things, you might ask why these two separate trips should be considered parts of a single direct flight at all. But the airline has an answer. Both legs have the same name, or in this case, a number, TWA Flight 803, Paris to San Francisco with a stop in New York. This can create some confusion. If the inbound leg is late, you may find TWA Flight 803 leaving New York for San Francisco before it's arrived there from Paris. But in general, the device has proven so effective as a marketing tool that the airlines will often assign several numbers to a single leg, each of which corresponds to a different one of the connecting flights it meets up with. So you can now have four direct flights to four different cities leaving in the same airplane at the same time from the same gate at the same airport, all through the miracle of language. But the airlines are Johnny-come-latelys at this name game. The automobile industry has been exploiting it for 60 years or so, ever since Alfred P. Sloan first realized that you could slap an old name on a new car and sell it as this year's model. Take the series of Ford-built cars called the Capri. For a long time, the name Capri was assigned to whatever sports coupe was being sold by Lincoln Mercury dealers. At first, this was a German import. Then in 1976, the Lincoln Mercury dealers tacked the name Capri onto a totally different car, which was basically what Ford dealers sold as the Mustang. Apparently, there were a lot of people who were quite willing to believe that the pre-76 German Capri and the post-76 American Capri were the same car, even though they had different bodies, different mechanical parts, and were made in different countries. I recall hearing a car salesman tout the 76 Capri as a great improvement over the previous year's model, which was sort of like saying that you'd improved your wife's temperament by divorcing her and marrying somebody else. There ought to be a law, I suppose, except that the lawmakers themselves are up to their larynxes in the same semantic shell games. Here's another riddle. What's the difference between tax increases and revenue enhancements? Answer, in the House of Representatives, about 40 votes. In the end, it's only our own skeptical attentiveness that can keep us from being snookered. As W.H. Auden wrote in his poem Kairos and Logos, one notices, if one will trust one's eyes, the shadow cast by language upon truth.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist associated with the Center for the Study of Language and Information at Stanford University.